Hi, Chinwaggers. This is Stephen Asma. I've got some important news for puzzle and word nerds. There's a podcast we love at Chinwag called The Puzzler, and I think you're going to love it too. It's hosted by best-selling author A.J. Jacobs, and he gives fun, audio-friendly puzzles to celebrity guests. And we, the listeners, get to play along. It's sort of like Wordle for your ears. Guests on The Puzzler have included Dax Shepard, Jeopardy host Ken Jennings, and Neil Patrick Harris called it delightful. And it really is delightful. The Puzzler features all sorts of puzzles and word games. There's one puzzle they do where the answers are rhyming phrases involving famous people, sort of a favorite of mine, like Barack Obama's llama or Jane Fonda's Honda. So if the clue was Emmy-winning actor Paul's toilet stool, the answer might be Giamatti's squatty potty. I'm sure Paul's going to love that. So check out The Puzzler with AJ Jacobs wherever you get your podcasts. It'll tickle your brain and entertain the heck out of you.
Hello, Chinwaggers. Paul Giamatti speaking.
And I am Stephen Asma. Good to see you, Paul. Welcome,
Chinwaggers. But I pause, give you a little bit of space there to just horn in there, Steve. Yes, indeed. Welcome, Chinwaggers. It's another listener mail session we're going to have.
Yeah,
here.
These are fun. These are really fun.
They really are. They bring up all kinds of interesting stuff. We got a couple here, and I think I'm going to let you take it away with the first one from Scott. Steve.
Yeah, this is very funny because we had done this episode on War of the Worlds and mass panics, I think.
Yeah.
And so Scott S. writes in and he says, great podcast. You recently mentioned the War of the Worlds radio broadcast. And just parenthetical aside here, Paul and I were wondering, are the stories true about people running for the hills, or is that a kind of exaggeration of the story? And so Scott writes in and says, quote, my grandfather used to talk about that day and packing up the wife and kids, one being my father, and heading to the hills. They thought getting to higher ground would help with the gas the aliens were dispensing.
Good thinking.
He even said while running to the car, I could smell the gas. That's so great. My grandmother teased him about that for years. Oh, my God.
Brutal.
My ex-wife would have never let me live that down. I'll tell you just why I can interject that.
Yeah.
The one part of the story that you missed and was the reason people believe it so much, the producers could not sell the advertisement time for the broadcast. This is interesting. Nobody liked the story, so they would not purchase the advertising time. That is why the show ran for so long without a break. I didn't know that. That's really interesting.
I didn't either.
There was not the normal commercial break and then the now back to our show type of introduction every 15 minutes or so. Therefore, it was nonstop. So it had the appearance of an actual emergency. Thanks again for the great pod and look forward to many more. Scott, great.
Yes, it's great. That's totally great and amazing. And yeah, evidently that stuff is true.
People did run.
Yeah. But here's the first thing that pops to my mind is, do you really think it would have made any difference if there were ads? Like, I really wonder if that would have made any difference to people if there were ads.
That's true. Nowadays, it wouldn't. Because we're so used to ads being inserted in everything, but maybe then it would have been the difference. I don't know.
Oh, so you think now it would actually, people would, oh, that's interesting, because the ads will just pop up randomly as if.
Yeah, everything's so blended together now, you sort of expect the news anchors to be like, drink Coke, you know, like everything's just mixed together. But then it was probably sacred space. The news was probably sacred space, I think. That's true.
Like probably Orson Welles literally would have to have stepped out of character and been like, you know, oh, the Martians or blah, 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 blah. And then he'd have to be like, friends, do you like a smooth smoke like Camel cigarettes? You know, that kind of thing.
He would have had. Yeah, so what then was he the would champagne have known. Or wine? Didn't he do like a wine
thing, like, Paul thing later? Parmesan wine. He did the Parmesan wine. Oh, Orson Welles. You're an amazing man. But, you know, I don't know if I can't remember if I mentioned this, but my grandfather always claimed to have heard the podcast, the broadcast.
Oh, yes, you did tell me that.
Yeah. And
but did he believe it, or he?
No, he says that he didn't believe, he never believed it, although I wonder if he's just covering his ass.
I would never cop to it myself. I would maintain.
I think he also claimed, although again, I'm like, I don't know if I'm imagining this, which is interesting. I think he claimed to have heard the Hindenburg broadcast too, the Hindenburg going down. With the, you know,
is that the 20s, 27,
20, 30s, I think. Maybe okay. early 30s, I think, maybe.
Late oh, the 20s, humanity.
Oh, the humanity. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
That is devastating.
Oh, the humanity. It was was devastating. There's a whole conspiracy theory about that, but I don't really know what it
is. Oh, we got to save that for a show, man.
We should do the Hindenburg conspiracy. We should do a whole episode on the Hindenburg conspiracy. That's a good idea.
We never have to get rid of any idea on this show. We're just like, yeah, let's turn that into a show.
Sure, why not? The Hindenburg conspiracy. There is something, I don't know, some sort of sabotage or something like that. I don't know who sabotaged it, but that's a memory I have. Should we read another one?
Yeah, let's do another one. My favorite part of that letter is the guy says, I think I smell the gas.
That's classic too. And the whole idea of convincing yourself, you know what I mean? The ability to, this is it. I mean, that's it. The ability to convince yourself of what's happening. I mean, like how much your imagination, I mean, that's the greatest example of it.
Yeah.
You know, that's a fantastic example of just your imagination literally running amok. When we talked, wasn't there something that in Ecuador they did it again and it was a bigger panic in Ecuador?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. People actually, I believe people died because once they realized it was fake, they stormed the radio station.
Right.
There was violence. It was burned to the ground.
I think there were suicides during this one, or attempted suicides at least, weren't there?
I've heard that. I've heard it.
During this one? Yeah. Mm. Boy. Oh, that Orson Welles. Let me tell you, he seemed completely unrepentant about it too. Have you ever seen
I think he enjoyed it.
Yeah, have you ever seen the footage of him afterwards? I mean, it's like he looks so pleased with himself while he's trying to deny that we had no idea that we were. He's very young, and it's like he looks so pleased with himself.
Is he smug?
Yes, he looks very smug. Young Orson Welles. Little did he know, someday he'd be. Yeah. Love Orson Welles, though. All right, shall we go move on to another one?
Yeah, let's do another one. What do we got here?
This one's from Barbara C. Shall I?
Yes, please.
I just listened to your episode on Nostradamus and prophets and clairvoyance. I've worked for many years as a, quote, spiritual consultant, or, quote, intuitive, or, quote, psychic consultant. I also read palms. What's that called? What's palm reading? Chiromancy? Is that right? Is that
what it is? God, I don't know. Hmm. I don't know.
I used to live in Europe and started doing this kind of work in 2001. I live back in the USA now, and I'm still doing this kind of work online and in private readings. I just wanted to explain the different types of intuitives that there are. Clairvoyant, you see things, quote unquote, like dead people or images in your mind's eye, etc. Voyant meaning see. Mm-hmm. Clairsentient, you feel things intuitively. Sentient meaning.
I've never even heard of that.
I don't think I have either, and I'm not quite sure what that even... Clairaudience, you hear things.
Oh, this is insider baseball right
yeah,
here.
Yeah, this is interesting. That's interesting. I'm a little bit of all of those above, but I don't see dead people like that kid in the Sixth Sense film. LOL. When I worked at a psychic bookstore doing readings, I got asked all kinds of questions. No joke, someone actually asked me if their asshole was going to get tighter. I kid you not. I wonder why.
What?
I wonder why. But, I mean, why? What's the point to that? Like,
oh my God, the letter should just end right there.
Yeah, I know, the letter should just. I'm sorry, let me just keep going. But the most asked questions involved women asking if a man they were interested in was thinking about them or going to call, of course.
Classic.
There are so many fascinating ways to predict the future or intuit things. Runes, crystal balls, tarot cards, oracle cards, Lenormand cards, I don't know what that is, palmistry, et cetera, et cetera. Even the magic eight ball. Are we really going to rely on that? I read this article once where there was this girl in London that read men's penis shapes. I can't confirm or deny if that was true, if it was a joke article. What the fuck? Anyway, thanks for your podcast. Best regards, Barbara C. Well, there's a lot to unpack here.
Yeah, especially men's penis shapes. That's
well,
astounding.
I mean, why not? It's all the other stuff. I mean, you're going to read feet, you're going to read hands, you're going to read all these other things. So somebody's destiny is clearly spelled out in the shape, and I would imagine size of their member, of their genitals.
How do you interpret it, though? How do you interpret, like, a lot? This is my question that I always have about this stuff. Which
right,
is,
who decides?
Yeah. How do you get from here to there? Like,
yeah, who decided the lifeline on your palm was whichever one it is? I don't know which one it is. You know, who decided that your heart line is the other one? Like, who the hell laid down the law about this stuff? You're not the boss of me.
Is it? Yeah, some of this stuff has built up for, like, you know, some of that Chinese stuff goes back thousands of years. So there's this sense that maybe there's something to it. But when you're just, like, reading, like, crystal balls and stuff.
Some yeah. girl in London who decides, I'm going to read penis sizes. And, like, well, that one looks, you look unlucky with that one,
that's
my friend.
A suspect.
Yeah, that one looks awfully unlucky to me. Archie, I mean, yeah, suspect. You're going to, yeah, I mean, like, what do you, yeah, well.
What would you learn from that, except that you might be have loose morals if you're seeing a lot of men's penises?
Well, I suppose. Or, I mean, what are you going to say? I mean, what's he going to say? Somebody's got a big Johnson. You're going to have a successful career. And
that's big dick energy. That's what we're hearing about this in politics all the time, man. We talked about, you know, the tradition of magic, which is this old tradition, which is as above, so below, as below, so above, right? This is the idea that there's some kind of, like, microcosm down here. This is what mm-hmm. the Hermetic tradition believed, and mm-hmm. it reflects some divine order up there. So when you look at something like the zodiac or your animal, like the scorpions or whatever it is, it's some kind of a message because there's some correlation in this other world. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. So it's not an allegory or a metaphor, but it's a kind of like, it's a sort of, there's a correspondence between this and something.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very like Plato and stuff, isn't it?
Yes.
It's like, right?
Yeah.
It's sort of like there's some supreme form that this is corresponding with and stuff
yes.
like that. Interesting. Is that, well, I mean, now I look at all these other things that Caroline C. talks about. I don't know what Lenormand cards are.
No, neither do I.
No, but runes, crystal balls, tarot cards, we will. I'm sure we, yeah, hopefully somebody should tell us what they are.
Yeah.
It's funny. You know, I was talking about this. I don't, all the clairsentient sounds pretty like, seems like a pretty wide swath. Like I
yeah.
feel like something bad's about to happen. I mean, I think everybody's a little clairsentient, aren't they?
It's a good question. Like, I mean, we call it gut instinct, right? Too.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I had a gut instinct. This was going to be dangerous or something.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I feel like I have those very gut reactions about people all the time, that I have a very sort of like completely inarticulate, wordless reaction to somebody. And I'll just be like, eh.
Is it reliable?
A lot of the time I found that it is. Yeah. I actually trust it a lot of the time. That when I feel like something's off about a person, I'm like,
Well, that's kind of the idea. Like if everybody has some sense of intuition, I guess the clairvoyant feels like they've just taken that power that's universal and they just have a bit more ability to focus it and like, or it's stronger in them. I guess that's the idea.
So they can take it a little bit further.
Yeah.
They can take that extra step and actually, they know what's going to happen. They can see what's going to happen. That's interesting.
They understand what the penises mean.
Yes. And they can definitely get the vibes, read the vibes that they're getting off that penis. Hearing things. I mean, I've had a couple of hearing things where I've heard, but I don't know that I've heard anything that was indicating something about the future or something about, or I heard, I mean, but I've had a couple of, two of the sort of ghostly encounters I can think of that I've had involved in.
Well, like a voice?
Yeah, involved voices.
Like a ghostly voice?
Yeah, both in two instances. One of them, really one of the ones that I feel like I don't know how to explain it. Another one that I think was maybe sleep paralysis. But in both, there was an audio component where I heard things.
Yeah, I've heard that, like, people say that on certain kinds of psychedelic compounds, you'll get more visual visions, hallucinations, or but that psychosis is more associated with hearing.
That's interesting.
Hallucinations. Really? So that's what I've heard. Like that in the cases of bipolar hallucinations, they're oftentimes auditory.
Interesting. And so those are seen as less reliable somehow than, well, they both are things that arguably aren't happening to you. They're being induced by something.
I mean, on this show, we don't want to rule out that they're tapping into some other reality, but generally speaking, yeah, we tend to think that it's not there.
I've had that experience of clair olfactory, where I smelled something that then proved to be the case. Is that the clair olfactory?
Oh, yeah, you had that crazy story about the coffee
smelling
thing,
coffee, like, yeah. And then the coffee thing, and I'm like, that's, you know, I wonder if that's possible too. If that's,
and that was like, know, it wasn't just smelling somebody making coffee. It was a reference to somebody who liked coffee in that
turned
house,
out to
right?
be. Yeah, it turned out to be. Yes. But it was, but I definitely thought I smelled somebody actually making coffee. What is your take on things like tarot and the I Ching and things like that?
I'm a little suspicious about tarot.
Uh-huh. Why? As opposed to the I Ching or just any of those kinds of clairvoyant methods where you have an actual thing that's helping you out. It's not just, oh, I can see this stuff. It's, oh, I have this thing that I can sort of, you know, lay out the cards or lay out the...
I guess, like, I shouldn't say I'm skeptical. We had that interesting conversation with Lisa Morton, and she was telling us about how recent some things like the Ouija board and tarot are. They're not that old. But really, when I say skeptical, that's not quite right. I just mean, I think you can use tarot and astrology and all these things to make better sense out of your life. Like, it helps give meaning to things. But I don't know. I don't think it's telling you the future or putting you in contact with the dead. I'm a little...
I mean, is that what people use those things for, though, tarot? And, like, I mean, is that really what's going on there with those things?
Have you done the tarot thing?
I had somebody do a tarot thing once for me, and it was a sort of, it was more like the I Ching or something, which I always feel like is more about, like, you're kind of inquiring into what's going to happen now with this thing I'm dealing with, what's it going to be like? And then the answer you get always feels like something that's, it's, I think the reason I think it's interesting, at least, is that it's a kind of creative thing. There's something very sort of creative
about
it. You
have to put
it
together.
And it's not, I don't feel like it's predictive, but it's a kind of, you're getting these sort of symbols, and it's fire. It's almost like psychoanalysis or something, or dream interpretation. It's firing off things in your head. You're making associations from what this person is saying to you as they're interpreting something. And it's useful or not, and it's imaginatively interesting, or it's literally interesting in some way. So that I always find when I do the I Ching, that I'm like, it always seems relevant to me because I'm making it relevant, of course. But that's a good thing. It's an interesting tool in that way. It's drawing something out of me in a useful way. So it's not like I think it's telling me the future, but I think it's useful, actually. You know what I mean? I think the problem begins when you start to think it's, when you're starting to rely on it to predict things, maybe. Maybe that's when it's bad.
I think I like the way you're talking about it. That makes sense to me. And I think for one thing, it focuses your attention on things that you might need attention on, you know, in your life.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. And these symbols and their explanations, and then somebody sort of combining them, interpreting for you, it draws something out that's like, that seems useful to you. And I think, and astrology is the same thing. Tarot, you're right, it's not that old, but the symbols in them are old, aren't they? I mean,
that's
don't the
true.
Symbols of them sort of go further back?
I don't know the deck that well. It looks, I know, like, there's kind of like this devil character, this Sabbatic goat, that was designed by Eliphas Levi, and it's like Baphomet.
Right.
And it's on a lot of the tarot cards.
Yeah.
But that imagery does go way back, really, to the ancient world in some form. It gets, you know, mishmashed and changed. But that imagery is part of the Hermetic tradition that goes way back.
Sure. And sort of the fool and stuff like that, and like a tower and like the sun and all those sorts of things feel
They're like archetypes.
Elemental. Yeah. They feel elemental. So for some reason it all, those kind of make a lot of sense to me in some way, or at least as a useful, creative, interpretive tool for yourself.
I mean, it's possible that there's a proto-language that like existed before our regular, our language that we use all the time. And maybe these forms try to get at the proto-language. Like here, there's an example, which is, you've seen all those cave paintings like Lascaux and Chauvet. You've got animals painted on the wall.
Yeah.
But there's actually these weird symbols that occur on the walls of these caves. Mm-hmm. And this woman just recently did a study these and found there's only 36 of these, I think. I may have the number slightly wrong.
All over the world. All over
the world. There might be 40 or 50 all over the world, but they're the same symbols.
And those are like the weird handprints, right? There's like handprints and dots, right? Aren't there like dot patterns?
And a hashtag.
Really?
There's a hashtag, which is one of the oldest, yeah. And it's everywhere, the hashtag. And no one really knows what it means.
But it recurs in completely disparate parts of the world.
Yes.
And it's and around the same time, too?
Yes, because it's true, because all that European stuff is probably like between, well, the older marks go back to like 70,000 years ago, and those paintings are like 50,000 years ago. And then in the Americas, you start to see it like something like 30,000 years ago or something like that.
That's so weird.
Yeah.
Well, it's aliens, Steve. It was aliens. It's alien astronauts, Steve. That's your explanation right there.
It all comes together.
Yep. Just tied it all together. That's it. That's it for the chin wag. We're done. My work is done here.
Full circle.
This is the final episode of the chin wag. I just solved it all. Fascinating stuff.
Yeah, super, that was really fun. Good letter.
Yeah, excellent letters. Thank you. And yeah, keep them coming in, please. It's a real pleasure. They're super, super... sparky. They got our brains going. Yeah.
We have some very smart listeners, and people have had some unique experiences that they share, and we read all of them.
Yep. Yep. And we appreciate them all. So keep them coming. And wag on.
Weirdos.
Chinwag is a production of Treefort Media and Touchy Feely Films, hosted and executive produced by Paul Giamatti and Steven Asma. Executive producers for Treefort are Kelly Garner and Lisa Ammerman. Dan Carey is executive producer for Touchy Feely. Our series producer is Rachel Whitley Bernstein. Original theme music by Luke Topp, with additional music by Via Mardot. Oscar Guido is our executive in charge of production. Tom Monahan is head of audio for Treefort. Audio production supervision by Jared Brom and Matt Dyson. Editing and mixing by Jeff Neal. Animation created by Alex Sokol. Research assistance by Aiden Brooks. Lastly, for more information, go to chinwagpod.fm and find us on Instagram or TikTok at chinwagpod or on Twitter at chinwag_pod.